range of question. The range is immense. From simple, normal human things to how is space created? Can you stand by an illuminated individual and receive illumination? Should we have Medicare? That sort of thing. And I really think the questions are fair. I'm just trying to embrace the range of them without changing the direction of our study. And so let me briefly state that as far as standing with an illuminated individual and being illuminated, it didn't work for 3 years with the disciples of Jesus, and that should answer the question. And yet, in a strange way, you can receive something other than illumination by the presence of an illuminated individual. You see, nobody can do your work for you. Nobody can give you that great electric shock that suddenly opens all of the soul pores. I know there are movements that indicate to their students as such as possible, but I think it's quite evident from the nature of the Christ teaching that there's a lot of hard work and discipline necessary to open those gates. Many of us who walked with Joel found inspiration. We found a degree of awareness just from being in his presence. We did feel the atmosphere was different, but it never reached the point of instant illumination. I've never heard one student say anything like that. My own personal experience with him was illuminating, but not in the sense that all of a sudden there was this shining, transformed self. The Ancient of Days giving me the book and saying, here, it's yours. Just a gradual awakening. And so in a class like this, we do benefit from association with spiritually aware individuals. There's certainly a higher atmosphere. And I hope that's a reasonable answer to your question. Yes, I do believe we should have Medicare if we need to take care of ourselves and our families and do not have spiritual awareness to provide that service. Certainly, we should not ever go without the protection we need if it's available. Some will find that they don't need it because they have the capacity to maintain what might be called the Medicare consciousness. But if you cannot, and if you are not willing or able or convinced yet that you can turn to someone who has, then by all means, do it. And then if you have children and have not yet trained them or taught them or in any way indoctrinated them into the spiritual way of life, yes, I think we should do all of the necessary steps, by all means. And as Joel once put it, if you've got to get a lawyer, get the best one. The point is that spiritual dimensions of living will ultimately take you out of human crutches. But until you have attained that level, you must take the human footsteps. How did space come about? I love the question. If you will take an imaginary line and call it a cosmic stone and draw it right through the universe on a horizontal basis. And then see that above this imaginary cosmic stone are three heavens, the kingdoms of heaven. And below are three kingdoms of this world. Call them, if you will, an upper and a lower firmament. Now, in the three heavens, the light of the three heavens is shining. And it floods the universe, and it falls upon this cosmic stone, this imaginary cosmic stone. And the light at this point, although it does not change, is interpreted by the cosmic stone or cosmic filter. And so on one side of the cosmic filter is light. On the other side, in reality, is light. But through the cosmic filter, a projection is made of this light in a distorted fragment, so that not all the light shines through. And this distorted fragment coming through the cosmic filter or screen becomes the world that we know. On one side of the cosmic stone is the light. On the other side is the world that we know called the darkness. One side of the cosmic screen is eternity. The other side is time. Wherever the light hits the cosmic stone, eternity becomes a concept called time, and infinity becomes a concept called space. That place where eternity becomes space, becomes time, and infinity becomes space, that place Moses tried to explain with the name Satan. Your Christian Science work changed it to mortal mind. Paul called it carnal mind. Joel calls it hypnotism. But space is a result of hypnotism. And if you want to put it in scientific terminology, space is a cosmic, universal telecast, based upon that which is and producing that which is not. Now, that is not a scientific explanation, but it is a workable one, a functional one, something you can utilize to visualize clearly that the light of the three heavens hitting the world mind becomes space, time, and nature, and all that nature contains. So that this world and all it contains, being the darkness spoken of in the Bible, is but a counterfeit projection in the world mind of that which is real in eternity. Now, from that point, we move into what are we going to do about it? The only instrument that can take you out of time and space and the illusion of a world is the instrument selected and provided by the Father, and that is the soul of God. The soul of God is the chosen instrument of God to break the hypnosis of time and space and the illusions that they contain. You have perhaps loosely, perhaps vigorously applied the knowledge that God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, and yet, in spite of it, in the time-space picture, we see no evidence of that omniscience. We see no evidence of that omnipotence. We see no evidence of that omnipresence. And that is because the cosmic filter converts its concept of omnipresence into space. Space is but a counterfeit of omnipresence. And when you think of these qualities of the divine self, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, it would now be good to relate them to the three heavens. You'll find that the omniscience comes from the soul. The omnipresence comes from the spirit. The omnipotence comes from the Christ. Christ, omnipotent, spirit, omnipresent, soul, omniscient, all three being the three heavens. Each quality is another heaven. And the synchronization of the three qualities are our Trinity, God being the three heavens and the Son being the three heavens. The Son being Christ, Spirit, and Soul. Now, all that exists are the three heavens, the light. All else is a counterfeit for a purpose of permitting your soul to discover its strength, its weakness, and above all to discover that in spite of seeming to move through space and time in a counterfeit universe, your soul is going to make a great discovery that it is indivisible from God. Everything will be thrown in its path to convince it that it is separate, apart, isolated, living under its own power. But gradually it discovers, I and the Father are one. It is an indivisible relationship, and it leads to conscious union with the Father. Space plays a role. Time plays a role. But that role is outlived when you translate beyond space and time. First you use them as your guides, and then you translate beyond them. Now we're into the activity of moving through space, through time, which we are calling the wilderness. And we want to learn to move through them without the usual crutches of mind and senses. We want to learn to develop a trust in our own soul capacities and the capacity of our soul to make total contact with the allness of God. For as we can reach this oneness through soul with the allness of God, we'll find these three qualities of omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence are discovered to be part of our eternal being, all coalescing into one perfection, which is self-existent and self-maintaining. From these, through soul, we derive the capacity to transcend the need for the human crutches that have been necessary in the past. It is not an easy step. It is not something you decide to do, and then, lo and behold, it is. You work at it. And our function right now may be two- or threefold, primarily to release the activity of our soul into our daily experience, and then to coordinate our soul with our earthly experience. You might call it that we are trying to achieve, discover, realize a divine rhythm. A rhythm that is based upon the will and power of the Father functioning through our soul, translating itself into action, knowledge, divine thought, expressing as our daily life. Now we have to learn how to coordinate soul and earth action, how to release that soul. And the natural question is, what can I do to cooperate with that soul so that what it wants to do through my expression as a form on this earth, I will not block, but rather I will permit it to function its will through me. And among the first blockages you will have to face this, that the moment you try to convert the soul into any human purpose, you are in a form of adultery. Now, some of you have asked me questions along that nature. I'm speaking to you as frankly as possible. You're not to be condemned for wishing to convert soul into human benefits. I just want you to know it doesn't work, that's all. The prime purpose of soul is to lift you into divine birth, not to improve your humanhood. And this is a very vital piece of advice. Do not try to convert soul into a benefit for your human life. That may sound ridiculous to you, but you will see that if you try to do this, the power and activity of your soul will not function in your experience. So you'll be biting off the hand that feeds you, even though to you it's very logical. Do not try. It will not work. All you will do is separate yourself from the activity of soul. You see, God runs the universe, not your human needs. And when you try to convert soul power into the fulfillment of human needs, you're saying to God, thanks for giving me this wonderful weapon. I've got a great use for it down here. And that's not what it's for. God is saying to you, your Father knoweth your needs. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let me run the universe. Don't take it away. You won't succeed. Let me run it. Let me run it through your soul. Not as you outline, not as you prefer, but as I prefer. Now that's a difficult piece of medicine to swallow, I know. But you might as well make a few errors and find out for yourself. Try it and see how it works, and you'll discover the reason it doesn't work is because the universe of God is run by God, not by man. No man can tamper with the activity of his own soul. The one who is doing the guiding and outlining and the influencing of soul to do this and that is truly a mortal not created by God. And unless you are able to see that you must step out of mortality, not use it to guide the spirit, the Christ, the soul, you are not getting the benefit of this seminar. Soul has the function of enforcing the perfect will of God. The omnipotence of Christ functions through the omniscience of soul. The omnipresence of spirit functions through the omniscience of soul. The perfection of God functions and perfects all that is necessary in your life. You decide not what is necessary, but you wait unto the inner direction of what the Father tells you is necessary and what the Father shows you is necessary. And you look and you look and you look and you wait for those divine signs. My thought will come to you through your soul. But if you persist in using your brain and your mind, my thought will not come to you. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Now this is definite. And one must obey the word of Scripture to the best of one's capacity. To release soul then, so that it may do its divine work where you stand. There are very specific and rather simple instructions. Don't block it, number one. Don't block it by doing the things that Spirit tells you not to do. And if you read the books of Joel, and if you read the Scripture, you're told what not to do. You're told not to resist evil. You're told to see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. You're told to turn the other cheek. You're told to take no thought. These are specifics, and the reason they're there is so that when you obey them, you're releasing your soul. You're given 10 commandments. When you obey them, you're releasing your soul. You're clearing the way for soul operation. But you must understand those 10 commandments. You must understand that adultery doesn't mean a man and a woman. Adultery means adulterating the divine message. You must understand the 10 soul commandments. We had a whole seminar on that. And so all through your scripture, and all through Joel's works, you're given principles. Those principles release your soul when obeyed. And so Joel says, impersonalize. If you're still seeing persons, you're not impersonalizing, and therefore you're not releasing your soul. But when you see no persons, but greet everyone with a divine kiss by the recognition of their spiritual identity, you are releasing your soul. Now, these are rather simple instructions. Let's go through some that are maybe not so simple. One of the greatest attributes you have to release your soul is the recognition that soul is you. The moment you know I am soul, you are activating it in your experience. I am soul. Now that's a lot better than telling God or your soul what to do. I won't harp on that any longer. I had to get the point across, but it's across and it's over, and we're going to move into higher realms. The first morning of this sequence will be I am soul. I am soul. And that soul is the soul of God. And that means I am omniscient, because soul is omniscient. We're meditating on your identity as soul. There's more to you than soul. That's a big jump from being mortal. That morning, instead of being mortal, that morning you realize, I am soul. You move through the day as soul. How? Let your soul tell you how. Release yourself to the soul that you are. It is omniscient. It brings to you the thoughts of God. But it is not enough to say, I am soul, and live in a human mind. And so when I accept I am soul, I accept that I am not a human mind. I let my soul overshadow my mind. All this is done in your first meditation for the day. It's not a statement and then out you run into the world, but rather it's the theme of a meditation. And the meditation is over when you have a realization of the meaning of I am so. My soul is not in this world. And so I, living in soul, am living outside this world, but I'm right here. My soul is not in this world because to my soul there is no world. My soul is in the kingdom of God, and I am soul in the kingdom of God. This is the trend of your meditation. I am soul in the kingdom of God. The light of God is shining in the kingdom, and it shines through my soul. I am on the other side of this cosmic filter, this stone which Jesus said we must remove. Remove the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus is a symbol of light. When you remove the stone, the cosmic filter, the world mind, by shutting your mind to it, the light with the stone of world thought removed removes the darkness of this world, and your life is suffused with heavenly light. I am soul, and the heavenly light flows through my soul, bringing with it the full, glorious treasures of the Father, concealed from human vision, but within that light flowing through my soul is the Word of God. And it is going to make itself flesh as my experience. Concealed from human vision, but within the light of my soul, is the power and the will, the perfect power and the perfect will of the perfect Father. All present, all flowing invisibly through my soul. Flowing too is the perfect thought of the Divine Father. What is happening? My human mind does not know, but my soul is an infinite computer. It does everything that must be done concerning me. If the greatest minds on earth combined to think, they could not do what one soul can do. It truly is an automated computer on an infinite scale, performing every divine task simultaneously where your life is concerned. There's nothing you need do, not even a button to push. Just know I am soul and be still. And wait in soul, not in mind. The computer will live its life through and as you. When the point of realization clicks within you, you're ready for your day. I will go forth before you. Everywhere my omnipresence will be, my omnipotence will be, my omniscience will be, all synchronized into perfect action. But don't take your consciousness away from soul. Keep it in soul consciousness. Now that is a dimension above mind consciousness. And so you will find that you are thinking with your mind a little less and a little more precisely than usual. You are letting your soul take over. Many among us have discovered that although at one time this was very difficult, they found certain inner grooves that they could rest upon with a certain degree of effortlessness and just stand and watch while they were in a high state of awareness. They were relaxed. They had developed confidence. They were making no specific effort to outthink anyone, but rather they were totally aware that soul's action is always perfect. Invisible, but it does manifest in time if you are patient. But if you're not living in that soul, don't expect time to manifest the qualities of your divine self. You can't turn it on and off. This is where you inhabit the kingdom of God. You live there. You abide. There's no point saying it can't be done because many are doing it. You abide. I've had many people say to me, I have four jobs. They ought to put on three more people. But I have to do them all, and I just can't get through the day. Just no way. All I do is just get exhausted and go home and try to get a little sleep, and it's time to do it all over again. And eventually they learn about the infinite computer of the soul. And when they finish at 2 or 3 o'clock and there's all this time left and the work is done, they're so amazed. And then 3 days later, they're back in their minds wondering why the soul doesn't do what it did the first day. They forget. You just don't walk away from it. You must learn to abide. Even beginners prove it out. But then they somehow just don't have the experience to know that you can't turn it on and off. And so I Am Soul will be your first meditation of that day. We have found that you open the soul and release it into your activity by service. When you serve, and don't misunderstand by service that if you go out and deliver packages or something of that nature to help people, that this is service. No, this is human service. Serving no man, but serving the Spirit of God is a little different. You serve the Spirit of God by being obedient to its direction. That's where your day and how your day is formed. Whatever Spirit directs, you do. You serve the Spirit. Your consciousness is on how can I serve the Spirit? And then in your relationships with people, you'll find it appears to be human service, but it's in response to the Spirit's own direction to you. You don't say, I'm going to be I'm going to distribute leaflets for the Democratic or Republican Party this week and call that service. Do you see what I mean? Not unless this is what you're directed by Spirit to do. I've seen people who have had a marvelous time doing precisely what they wanted, and then when suddenly everything broke down, they said, well, I thought Spirit was leading me. They didn't even take the time to find out if Spirit was leading them. They followed their own desires, their own will, their own ambitions, pretending to themselves that Spirit was leading them. You can't fool anybody. And so, whatever you do, don't say, Spirit wants me to do this. Because you'll have a rude awakening if Spirit hasn't led you to do this. Now, you're going to make mistakes. It's not the easiest thing in the world to discern the difference between your own will and Spirit's will. But at least make the effort. And just as a dog can hear 100 voices but know its master, if you're making the effort, you'll hear the voice of Spirit directing you in its own fashion, in its own way. It will make itself known to you. It will even move a mountain to make itself known to you. All there has to be is a willing heart, something in you that says, I am going to serve Spirit today, all day. Of course, I'm going to do the things that I've got to do. I'm going to do them from the knowledge that matter is not here. I'm going to live in the spiritual universe while I do these things. Now, if you can't find the way to live in the spiritual universe, you're not going to serve Spirit. Serving Spirit doesn't mean I'm going to serve Spirit in the world. I'm going to serve Spirit in the spiritual universe, and it will appear as world activity. Get the distinction. Think about it carefully. serve the Spirit by living in the Spirit and being the Spirit. And you will release your soul. Similarly, love releases spirit. Love releases soul activity. Now we know what love is. But we want an unself love, not a love that wants something in return. Divine love in you released releases your soul. Find out, in various ways that are available to you, the difference between divine love and self-love, and then start giving out this divine love. Your soul will be working for you. You'll get back 100 times what you give out. You see, when you start thinking, how can I release my soul, and then start doing the things that are obvious to release your soul, you'll find your soul working through you. In fact, it will show you new ways. So many new ways, you can't count them. Accepting the omnipresence of spirit releases your soul. And it's so easy to shorten the arm of the Father in your consciousness by not recognizing that here, there, and everywhere is the Spirit of God. And when you recognize it and know that it is I, you will find that is a soul recognition. And so basically everything that you have learned to do in the infinite way is to help release your soul activity. It isn't a real dark secret. It's a matter of willingness, understanding that soul is the way to divine birth, and that you must make the effort to do what you're instructed to do by the scriptures, by the teaching of the infinite way, by the books, by the tapes, and by your own inner master. So that above all, your primary goal is always divine rebirth through soul activity. Living in the kingdom of God in my soul to attain the realization that I am divine being. That's your goal, and your life should be built around that goal. And the soul will facilitate your attaining that goal. I am soul. 2, second day. My soul is a perfect infinite computer. When you awaken in the morning, the realization that your soul is a perfect infinite computer, with all that that implies, that it knows everything, it can do everything, and it does do everything. It does everything automatically. And so, that means trust it to be a perfect, infinite computer. And when you see something of an imperfection, knowing your soul is a perfect computer, the imperfection must be lying. You must have wandered below the cosmic screen, the filter, into the darkness, and you are looking at the cosmic mind projection of an image that does not exist except in the world mind. Return to home base as quickly as possible. Above mind, in soul, knowing the infinite computer is always working, and its workings will be revealed to you when you abide in soul. You took your foot off the gas and your car stopped. You unlinked your mind from soul by thinking and forgetting that the moment you take human thought, you are releasing yourself from the divine pipeline. People say, how can I not take human thought in this world? That isn't the question. The question is, how can I maintain soul awareness while taking human thought? The traffic light changes from red to green. Your mind responds and you walk. Does that mean you can take your awareness off of soul without suffering? While you do, a car will come around the corner perhaps, even with that green light on, for you, but with your mind linked with soul. Soul is your automatic protector. Not only will it awaken you to a car coming around the corner, it will actually awaken the driver of that car. All of our human footsteps are under divine protection. When the mind that thinks is linked with a divine thinker. So work for that link up. You can think humanly and still abide in soul. I use a very simple illustration. We used to wonder in the early days of learning how to typewrite. How could I typewrite and do all the things that I have to do while I'm typing? How would my mind possibly do this and do all those other things too? But after a while, you don't even think about it, do you? You're typing and you're thinking about where you're going to go after 5 o'clock. You're typing and you're wondering about who's doing what somewhere else. It's as if you aren't even there. Your fingers seem to be doing the typing. But actually, you've got a built-in thinking apparatus which moves those fingers while you're also thinking with the same apparatus about something else. Just as the mind can think of 2, 3, or 6 things, so can you live in the mind and the soul simultaneously. You'll have to find that technique by practice. And when you do, you'll discover that your mind serves your soul. And your soul serving God, obviously, the mind then serves God. My soul is an infinite, perfect computer. You might add to it, and I trust it implicitly. There's only one thing I've got to add to that, is that I must rest in my soul. That's the link up. That's your second day. Let's apply that to some circumstances. Let's just invent a few circumstances that might happen in a day. Well, you'd have to know this. Let's say you make a serious error of some kind. Quite serious. And now, your problem is, what am I going to do about it? Now think what you would do about it. If you make a serious error while you're in the day when you know that my soul is a perfect, infinite computer, think what you would do when you discover your serious error. You probably either have your answer or you'll be spending a lot more time to find it. So we'll go right into what you should do. Number one, that which is an error is not an error, no matter how serious. It's not an error in the kingdom of God. That's the first step. I did not make an error in the kingdom of God. The error is in this world. The erasure of the error is not necessary because I am in the kingdom of God. That's step number one. The moment you do that, you're setting in action the law of perfection, which is always working. And only enters your consciousness when you're in soul. Now, obviously, the error was made when you were not in soul. So quickly, get back into the kingdom, recognizing that there's never an error in the kingdom of soul. You're back into source. Source is going to make what you call a correction. Source can manifest the word. Source being perfect through your soul, Source will make a correction a little different than your human mind would make. Source will move out into all of the areas where this particular human error would have an effect. Not just where you made it, but in all the areas where this particular error could have an effect. In every country, in every division of this world, Spirit will manifest the Word invisibly. And then when the smoke clears, and finally the error is changed in the human sphere, you find that the repercussions of it will not be quite as serious as you would have thought. Because you will have activated Spirit to go before you, and the various facets of that error will be closed up long before it can get underway to do its destructive work in your human sense of life. The moment you put the invisible detective on the trail by recognizing infinite perfection in the Spirit, the infinite computer will reveal that it is just that, and the repercussions of the error will be caught. Isn't that what a healing is all about? Think of some of your own experiences and healings. Think of some of the strange ones.